Good evening, Eagle Country, and thank you for tuning in for another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries, located here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. I'm your host, Double T Travis Thayer. Got a great show lined up for you this evening. We're certainly going to talk a bunch of girls and boys high school basketball, get you caught up on all the latest action, see where our teams stand here early in the season, talk about some of the top performers in the area and see about these teams going forward here in the interim, some of the intriguing matchups that are going to be happening this week and beyond. But before we get to that, we do have a special guest here in the studio this evening, Dr. Brian Whistle from OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Appreciate you stopping out tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Travis.
And we're certainly going to chat a little sports here in just a moment, but we do want to have you kind of reintroduce yourself to the Crunch Time audience and let everybody know what you do at OrthoSensi.
Yes, so Dr. Brian Whistle, I'm a Cincinnati native. I'm permanently out here in Lawrenceburg, so 5 days a week. My specialty is sports medicine, so I do shoulders, knees. Of course, out here I do a little bit of everything, kind of serving the community. And so, you know, as I said, I'm in the office Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and then operate Monday, Friday, and then all day Wednesday. So always happy to see you. Give me a call.
All right. And we are getting into the winter sports season. So obviously you got high school athletics going on. We don't hope that you see too many of the high school students getting injured during basketball or whatever sport might be going on. Also have a lot of people in the area that like to hit the ski slopes and things like that. So what kind of injuries might you treat more often in the wintertime than the other parts of the year?
Yep, you're absolutely correct there in terms of you know, the winter sports like basketball tend to see less injuries, just, you know, less guys out there on the field. You know, football tends to be the big one, you know, in terms of high school injuries. But as we get into winter and the temperature's dipping, obviously ski season, and then, you know, you also got to worry about the first snowfall and ice and all that. And so, you know, last year was pretty busy from the slopes, and it's always remind people to be careful and kind of maintain your space out there and be smart about it. But similarly, the big thing to keep in mind is when it gets cold like this, you know, obviously when it snows and there's snow on the ground, you're worried about ice, but it doesn't necessarily have to be snow. You know, all you have to have is water and the temperature below 32 and can be black ice that you can miss. And so, you know, always just be conscious of that when it's, you know, once it starts to get colder here.
And that's one thing I want to build off of that. We obviously talk a lot about sports and sports injuries when you guys come in because this is a sports show, but OrthoSensi's here for the work and everyday injuries as well. So again, you could be out shoveling your driveway or just doing anything at home, and you'll treat those folks as well.
Absolutely. Yep. We're always happy to see you. And of course, you can go to our website, OrthoSensi.com, and it's easy enough to book an appointment through there. You can also, of course, there's a phone number on there. And out here in Lawrenceburg, we've also started doing a walk-in clinic, which is Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. And so a lot of times, you know, you either fall and you twist your ankle or land on your wrist, or even, you know, you're shoveling snow and you feel something tweak in your back or your shoulder. Don't always feel like, especially in, you know, these times where with COVID and all that going around, the ED can be a little bit crowded and can be a little bit scary for some people. You do not always necessarily have to go there. It's nice to have the opportunity to go straight to an orthopedics office, and we can get x-rays in the office there, and a lot of times can pretty quickly troubleshoot, and a lot of times it might even be faster than kind of waiting in the local emergency department.
Yeah, and just think how blessed we are to have this service here in southeastern Indiana. We appreciate everything you guys do at OrthoSensi. You already mentioned kind of the walk-in clinics. That was going to be the next thing to get to. So I guess we can get down to some fun stuff and talk a little Sensi sports. We were kind of chatting off the air leading into the show, and you mentioned, you know, two relevant football teams, college and pro. This late into the year, it's pretty exciting around these parts, having UC and the Bengals in the mix.
Oh, it's wild. We're like the epicenter of the football world right now, almost.
Yeah, that game yesterday, 41-10. Can you believe that that was the scoreline and the Bengals were the one on the winning side against the Steelers?
I can't believe that. We were talking that's three in a row against the Steelers, and that's both games. Their last two, I guess, against the Ravens earlier this year and against the Steelers. If you would have told me those games were going to end with Burrow on the sideline, I'd have been worried.
Right, yeah. He was on the sideline because they were up so much yesterday. But 3-1 in the division. They're right there nipping at the heels of the Baltimore Ravens. They're in playoff position as of today. The fifth seed in the AFC, so they'd have the top of the three wild card spots. And this is a team that still has a very challenging schedule going forward. They're not going to play any teams that have a record below 500, at least as of today. A lot of those games are going to be at home. I've been saying the magic number's 10. If the Bengals can win three more games, I think 10 will get them into the playoffs. Do you feel that's probably a pretty solid bet?
I would think that's a pretty solid bet, yeah. The way they looked this past weekend, if they can keep that up, I think 10's easily attainable, and I think 10 gets you in the playoffs.
Absolutely, and we were also talking a little bit off-air about the NFL in general this year and how there isn't so many teams really standing out as a prohibitive favorite to go and win it all this year. So why not the Bengals?
Absolutely. They put it all together in all, you know, all phases of the game Sunday, and you do that in the NFL, you got good chance.
Absolutely. I like that they're over the last 2 weeks, they've really emphasized running the ball. That kind of sets up the down the field big plays with Burrow and Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, and then the defense has had a resurgence as well these last couple weeks. So I think this team is definitely a playoff caliber team, and anything can happen once the playoffs do start. And then you got UC football. They are one win away from we think punching their ticket to the college football playoff. They would be the first group of five team to ever play in the playoff. They got a big matchup against Houston this weekend, but again, it's there's just a buzz around this team and a lot of excitement there in Clifton.
Yep, I think Fickell will have them ready to play, but it's got the feel a little bit of a trap game where you cannot look too far ahead to the playoffs. Houston's a real team, and they're going to come ready to play.
Absolutely. I think the conference as a whole that UC is in is not great from top to bottom. I think a lot of people would admit that, but there are some really solid teams in the conference like SMU and Houston, so it will be a challenge for this UC team on Saturday. The good news is it will be played in a packed Nippert Stadium. They've been jamming over 35,000 people in that stadium. I mean, people are sitting on top of each other.
Yep, and they're down on a bowl, so it'll get loud.
Absolutely, but if UC gets in, what kind of chances do you think that they have at making some noise in the playoff?
You know, it depends on who's there with them and what their matchup is. I know a lot of people discount the fact that they played Georgia tough last year in the playoffs because everybody wants to point to Georgia's players leaving early,
sure.
Sitting out the bowl game. But yeah. UC was missing some key parts last year, too, and UC gave them about as good a game as anybody last year.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to see them play Georgia this year because I think that Georgia team is completely different, not to say that they can't play them close or beat them again. I just think they might have a easier time getting through the first game into the national championship if they're in the 2-3 matchup, regardless of who that might be against. But I have a sneaking suspicion that Luke Fickell and his players want another shot at the Bulldogs, and it would certainly be a fun matchup to watch.
That would be incredible if that happened to be the championship game and it was, you know, 100 miles to the west of here in Indianapolis.
All right, so I'm going to leave you with one very, very tough question. You only get to pick one. UC wins the national championship, or the Bengals win the Super Bowl, which one would you rather have happen?
Oh, man. I think I mentioned my first time on the air here with you that my time down in New Orleans, I sort of started splitting my allegiance with the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably, and UC's getting enough of my money between undergrad and med school that I'd go with UC.
All right. Fair enough. I don't think there was any wrong answer there. If Cincinnati got a championship of any kind, college or pro, the city is just going to go absolutely wild. So we're looking forward to seeing some more success from those two football teams. And appreciate you coming in tonight. Anything else you want to add about Ortho Cincy before we let you get out the door?
No, just what, you know, again, it's easy enough to get an appointment with us. If, you know, for some reason, you fall, you twist your ankle, hurt your wrist, you can't get in, we're right up at the top of the hill. You can always just show up in between 8 and 5 and should be able to see you in there. And, you know, again, we appreciate the community supporting us out here. I appreciate you supporting us with the show here.
Well, we appreciate you supporting this show so we can get out here each and every Monday and talk about all of our great local athletes. Appreciate you stopping by, and we'll chat again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. That is Dr. Brian Whistle from Ortho Cincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. You can learn more about their great services at orthocincy.com. Remember, Cincy is spelled with a Y, people. We'll catch you later, Doc. Appreciate you being on the show tonight. And we do have about 20 minutes left, so we're going to get into some girls and boys basketball talk here this evening. Want to start with girls basketball, and East Central, I think we can say, is the best team in the area, at least looking at last year's records, and that's translating into this year as they're highly ranked in the state in the non-class poll, and East Central 3-1 so far this season. They are off to a 2-0 start in the EIAC, so trying to win the conference again this year. Already have wins over South Dearborn and Franklin County and Greensburg. Of course, the Franklin County game did not count as a conference game. And the only loss for East Central thus far is to Columbus East, who is going to be a sectional opponent. It was a 9-point loss to East, and I think a good learning opportunity for this team. East Central did lose four seniors coming into this season, so they do have some young ladies stepping into some bigger roles this year, and there are going to be some trials and tribulations with this team going forward, so they can only learn from that loss and grow from it, and who knows, it might be totally different if they meet down the road in the sectional. But the latest win for East Central coming last Wednesday over Greensburg. Lady Trojans were down 24-15 at the half, came out strong, and it was a completely different game in that second half as they outscored Greensburg 37-13 in the second half. I believe it was 21-6 in the third quarter off the top of my head. So whatever Coach Moore said or screamed at halftime got through to the girls, and they came out on fire. Josie Trable leading the way, 18 points in that game. Hope Fox with 15, and Ashley Nobby chipping in with 10 to lead the Lady Trojans. But their offense has been very good so far this year in four games, averaging just over 61 points per game. That's 23rd in the entire state. And defensively, they're in the top 50, allowing 34.5 points per game. And I think the most eye-popping stat when you look at this East Central Lady Trojans basketball team, 23.5 steals per game. If they keep that up, there's going to be a lot of teams that are not going to be able to beat them because they're just simply not going to have enough possessions. Hope Fox leading the team with 6.2 steals per game. And I started thinking about it. I was like, that's an awful lot of steals thus far. Wonder what the season record is at East Central. And Robin Teasing, who is one of the best players in their history, holding the single season record with 108 steals. That was back in the 91-92 season. At her current pace, Hope Fox would crush that record with over 130 steals. Now, is she going to average 6.5 steals per game for the rest of the season? I don't know. She is certainly capable, and obviously going to go on and play college basketball at Connecticut State University, so that right there alone tells you what type of player Hope is, but very active on the defensive end, and is able to play great defense without fouling a lot. So I don't know. I think she's got a good chance to break that record, and that's a great one to have. Being the steals record holder for a single season. East Central not going to play again until Thursday. They'll be at Jennings County. That should be a pretty good game. Jennings County always has a pretty stout team. They will have three games in 8 days, including an away game against Madison and then a sectional championship rematch at home against Columbus North next Thursday. And we do plan to bring you that game right here on your hometown radio station Thursday, December 9th. And I had the pleasure of calling that sectional championship game last year. And the night before the semifinal against Martinsville that went into double overtime, those were two of the best basketball games I have had the pleasure of calling in my few years of doing that here at Eagle Country 99.3. So looking forward to the encore presentation as they do welcome in Columbus North on Thursday. And again, that's going to be a sectional opponent again this year. So a measuring stick game perhaps for East Central coming up next Thursday. But three games in 8 days, so we'll learn a little bit more about this team over the next week or so. How about the Lawrenceburg Lady Tigers, now 5-3 on the season, 1-0 in the EIAC, and they have won four games in a row after starting 1-3. And over that four-game span, their average margin of victory, 24 points. They knocked off Oldenburg by 23, beat down on South Ripley by 37. That's a pretty good team there as well. North Decatur was undefeated when they played them, beat them by 15, and then turned around and defeated Franklin County by 21. And one of the young ladies on the Lady Tigers team that has really impressed me so far this year is Lizzie Reeder. She really came on strong at the end of last year as a sophomore, and she has been getting it done this year. Her junior campaign off to a great start, 14 points per game, 6 rebounds, and 2.5 assists per. You got Kirsten Cross averaging 12 points, 6.5 rebounds, 3 steals, and Chloe Meyer, 10 points, 5 rebounds, and 3.5 assists per game. That's kind of the big three right now for the Tigers, but Hannah White, Cambria Clawson, Nicole Howells, Molly Stewart, Melissa McClinton, Natalie Kaniga playing some key minutes as well for Coach Zane White, who has his Lady Tigers playing good basketball here as of late. They've had solid shooting throughout the year, 41% from the field, 75% from the free throw line, and 32% from behind the three-point arc. So with shooting percentages like that, tough, solid defense, Lawrenceburg is going to be a tough team to play all year long. One glaring statistic, and this is something that all the area coaches are going to be paying attention to all season long, and that is turnovers. You got to take care of the basketball. Lawrenceburg averaging nearly 17 per game. I think if you ask Coach White, he'd obviously like to see that number be way lower, perhaps in single digits. But really, if you're in the 10 to 12 range, per game, that's right there in the sweet spot. Pretty good there. So if they can cut back on their turnovers, get a couple extra possessions for the Readers and the Crosses and the Myers to put the ball in the basket, then some more wins on the way for this Tigers team. They will play Jeffersonville coming up this week. They're 5-3, a big 4A team. They've lost 3 in a row, but they've played 3 really good teams in Silver Creek, Bedford, North Lawrence, and Jennings County. So should be a really good test for the Tigers on Wednesday. South Dearborn, 1-7 on the season, 0-2 in the EIAC. Obviously, the record not great to start the season, but I think you can see some improvement in this team when you watch them play. Year two under Coach Gibbs, who is trying to instill some more fundamentals and consistency with his girls. Ball handling has been a big emphasis, just taking care of the ball, getting it across half court, being able to get into your offensive sets. And they're still having a little trouble scoring the basketball, averaging just 32 points per game. That's down from 34 points per game a year ago. But defensively is where the Lady Knights have improved the most. They have lowered their points allowed average by 8 points this season to 53 points per game. So this is still a very young team that's learning to play together, again trying to find that consistency on a day-to-day basis. I only have 3 seniors on this roster, so I do think you'll continue to see this team grow as the season moves on. Again, when you got underclassmen who are put into the ball handling position, again, it takes a little time to get comfortable with that, figure out what you need to do to beat that aggressive defense. And one young lady that has really stood out for this team this year is Natalie Rupp. She has become the go-to scorer for this team, averaging nearly 10 points per game. Bernadette Wisman, who has started since her freshman year, and Kirsten Dixon, a couple of really good guards that are averaging close to 6 points per game. And then Jillian Bond can do some nice things down low and has a decent mid-range game as well, a key contributor for this Lady Knights team as well. I think one of the big keys going forward, as I mentioned, taking care of the ball and getting some better shots on offense too. Again, once you get sped up, try to rush through some things, end up taking bad contested shots. That's something that will continue to get better as the year goes on. But they have 11 girls that have been playing pretty consistently, at least in 5 or more games. So they've had some opportunity for these young ladies to create a bigger role for themselves going forward. And next up will be a matchup with Rising Sun on Tuesday. And I think this has got a chance to be a really, really good game. Speaking of Rising Sun, 3-4 on the season. They've lost 3 in a row after starting 3-1 for the first time since the early 2000s. They did have a very tough stretch of play over those 3 games. Switzerland County, good team. Waldron and Hauser, very good as well. Waldron probably the favorite in that sectional with Rising Sun and Hauser, among other teams. Jacksonville will have something to say about that as well. But for Rising Sun, their standouts so far this year, junior Bailey Morris is leading them in points per game at 11 points per game, 6.5 rebounds, 2 assists. Alyssa Simpson, who's just a sophomore, averaging a double-double, 10 points, 10 rebounds. And Kieran Groover has been playing well for them as well. You can add Jenna Peelman and Nora Powell to that list. And that's their starting five, and that's the five that are out there most of the time. Beyond those five, scoring has been kind of tough to come by for Abby Friend's team, but they do have some depth there. Miranda Lozier, Ellie Omenseek, Hannah Kramer, and Sienna Keen providing some depth for the Shiners. One of the big stats I'm looking at with this team, only 29% from the floor. So, again, need to find ways to get some easier baskets, better looks within their motion offense. But this is a team that's off to a pretty decent start. Again, said we went through that tough stretch. They'll look to get back to winning ways against South Dearborn tomorrow evening. Quickly want to hit on Milan. They are another team having a tough go so far this year, 1-6 through the first 7 games. They did pick up their first win of the season back on the 20th. It was a 47-37. Win over Indiana Def, and I mention this game because Rachel Holt earned ORVC Girls Basketball Player of the Week honors for recording a triple-double in that game. You do not hear that much in these parts, or really across high school basketball as a whole here in the state of Indiana, but 10 points, 10 rebounds, and 12 steals for Rachel, getting those weekly honors from the ORVC. She did share the honor with Annabelle Williams, standout player from Jacksonville, who averaged nearly 15 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 steals during that same week. Jacksonville's off to a 6-0 record. Their average margin of victory, 28 points per game. And, well, they got a big game coming up against Hauser on Wednesday, a sectional preview, and Waldron looming on December 7th. Again, Jacksonville and Waldron, likely the two best teams in sectional 60 in 1A. I also want to briefly mention South Ripley, 4-3 on the season. They have just alternated wins and losses throughout the season so far. Gracie Gunter, Caitlin Sample, Sarah Meyer, Emily Flood leading the way. Another one of their star players, Rachel Meyer, has only played in 2 games. When they get her back, this team is going to be completely different than what you've seen through the first 7 games. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Visit OrthoSensi.com to learn more. And again, want to extend my thanks to Dr. Brian Whistle for coming on, talking a little bit more about OrthoSensi, and providing some commentary on the success of the Bengals and UC Bearcat football this season. Fun chatting with Dr. Whistle, as always. I want to talk a little boys basketball before signing off this evening. And I want to start with South Dearborn, because I got a chance to see them last Tuesday in the turkey tip-off against Rising Sun, and boy, were they impressive in the 51-33 win over the Shiners. Right out of the gate, you could tell that this team was amped up to play, and they were getting after Rising Sun defensively, turning them over left and right. Blink of an eye, you look up on the scoreboard, it was 11-0. Rising Sun had barely even, I think they had made one pass to initiate their offense in the half court at that point in the game. Ryan Willoughby, look out for this kid. If you are a ball handler in the area and he draws you as the defensive assignment, he's going to know what type of bubble gum you're chewing by the end of the game. He's that kind of defender. Eli Hoffman picking up right where he left off last year as a junior. 19 points in that first game. He's getting very close to 1,000 points for his career, and he will certainly get that at some point this year, as he's you can kind of bank on him averaging over 15 points per game, as he's just that kind of player. Reese Willoughby looking great in that first game as well. They got a young guard, sophomore Brody Tiki, who's kind of filling the shoes of big brother Toby, who graduated last year, and Brody's got a little swagger to him. He can score the basketball, got a nice outside shot. He's going to provide some scoring punch for this team, but only going about 7 deep right now with this team. Drew Probst, who's a great athlete, a star on the football field, among the starting 5. Adam Kunkel, the quarterback of the South Dearborn football team, coming off the bench with Hudson Shackelford, And there's going to be some opportunity for some others after previous conversations with Coach Colston. So the 7-man rotation might grow to 8 or 9 before the end of the year. We don't know. But one thing we do know is that defensive pressure is going to be there for this South Dearborn team all season long. They have good individual on-ball defense, good help defense, active hands, and they've done a good job of playing defense with without fouling, at least through these first two games of the year. Very patient on offense, and with capable scorers like Hoffman and Reese Willoughby, Brody Tiki, they'll get some contributions from some others as the season goes along. I think they can do enough scoring as well to really put themselves in a position to have a really, really nice year. I know it's a small sample size, only seeing them play twice so far this year, but nice wins over Rising Sun and Franklin County. And maybe a little bit tougher of a test coming up with their next game, taking on Jackson Dell, who I've had some conversations with coaches in the ORVC, and many of them believe that Jackson Dell might be the best team in the conference this year. They are 2-0. They've already taken down South Ripley in a non-conference game, and then took down Batesville on Saturday in a 2-overtime game. Final score in that one was 82-80, and Jackson Dell winning that on the road. Batesville, not an easy place to pick up a road win, so that'll be a very intriguing matchup for South Dearborn taking on Jackson Dell next. As for the Lawrenceburg Tigers, going to get our first look at the Tigers tomorrow night when they host Franklin County. We'll have that game for you right here on your hometown radio station. Tigers returning four starters from last year's team that went 13-11 under then first-year head coach Brad Cutter. And Coach Cutter got those four seniors back. Garrett Yoon, Daya Patel in the backcourt, Jackson Bobo, Ashton Craig in the front court. So they have size, athleticism. They can score on the inside. They can score on the outside. And a big thing with this team is going to be what's their depth going to look like? Are they going to be able to get some bench scoring? I think you're going to see Logan Rohrer inserted into the starting lineup. It's a kid that played some varsity minutes last year, did some really nice things at times, and he's going to be one of their primary ball handlers this year. He's really exceptional in the open court, can get after you defensively. Needs to improve his outside jumper a little bit, but a really athletic kid that can do some really nice things. I've mentioned before, saw him play some summer ball earlier this year, and he looked like the best player on the floor. So if he can give them what Coach Cutter thinks he can give them and what he knows he can give them, their starting five is going to be very, very good. They got some guys coming up from JV that played really well at the JV level last year. Andrew Meyer, Sam Cornett, Brennan Bushman can some provide some depth. Of course, they're going to have to step their game up a little bit this year, playing against varsity competition, but you'll see those guys coming off the bench. And you'll also see Little Bobo, who's not so little, Cooper Bobo, 6'4 freshman, has got some game. Talking to Coach Cutter, heading into last week's crunch time, of course, he's expecting Cooper to make some freshman mistakes because that's what freshmen do, but a very, very talented player that can certainly help them off the bench. And this is a talented team, specifically with those four returning starters. They average nearly 40 points combined this year, so that's a good place to start. Garrett Yoon, Daya Patel can take care of the basketball back there, and Bobo and Craig with that high-low and being able to score around the basket. This should be a pretty good team this year. And, of course, they will play Franklin County tomorrow night, 0-1, after that loss to South Dearborn over the weekend. But Chad Cox is back, one of the top scorers in the area, over 20 points per game last year. Brant Ertle, he was a 13-point scorer. They also have Bridger Bolos and J.D. Stokes back. So their top four scorers, similar to Lawrenceburg, all back this year. But they do have a new head coach in Mark Foster. So it'll be very intriguing to see how they play tomorrow night against Lawrenceburg. And I don't want to give away too much of my pregame. So we're going to move on to our next couple of teams to round out the show. Rising Sun, again, who we had for you this past Tuesday against South Dearborn, off to an 0-2 start. Hasn't been the friendliest of schedules with the first two games. Of course, South Dearborn looking very good this year. Ran into a talented South Ripley team on Saturday as well. The final score in that one was 78-42. Rising Sun's going to have a little downtime to think about those first two games and get prepared for a big rivalry game on December 10th. That will be their next game at Switzerland County. Non-conference game, but I do believe that makes it the ruler of the river game. So a trophy perhaps going to be on the line in this one. I will tell you, Dylan Martin looked very good against South Dearborn. I think he's going to be one of their top scorers this year. They need to get Peyton Merica and Damon Kerrigan going, and then you'll start to see some more wins for this Rising Sun team. But I got to do a little bit better against the ball pressure. A little bit more composure on the ball, and I think you will see them play a little bit more aggressive on defense, get into some more pressing-type situations as the year goes on. They've got some talented kids there, again, working with second-year head coach Brandon Snodgrass, who I think's got them playing a nice brand of basketball. Again, just trying to settle into this season, and they will get better as it goes along. South Ripley 1-1 on the year, lost to Jacksonville in the opener. Just got that win over Rising Sun, like I mentioned. Milan and East Central yet to play, but they will hook up on Friday as they will get their season started against one another. And I want to hit on our broadcast schedule before I get out of here this evening. As mentioned, Lawrenceburg hosting Franklin County tomorrow. Next Thursday, December 9th, Columbus North at East Central. That will be a girls' contest. Friday, December 17th, South Dearborn hosting Connersville. A rematch of the semifinals, the boys' sectional last year, which was a two-point game. Connersville would go on to win the sectional championship. And then Tuesday, December 21st, Lawrenceburg traveling across state lines to take on the Taylor Yellow Jackets. That will be the broadcast schedule for the remainder of this calendar year. And of course, we'll get things started in 2022 with the Rivertown Classic. And you can see our full high school basketball broadcast schedule at EagleCountryOnline.com. But we have come to the end of the road this evening. Appreciate you tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Thank you again to Dr. Brian Whistle for stopping by, talking a little OrthoCincy and talking a little Cincy sports. Appreciate you listening. We'll do it again next Monday, 6 to 6:30, right here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.